Good morning. I'm B.J. Stagner, pastor of Sarum Chapel Independent Baptist Church. I hope and pray that today's sermon is a wonderful blessing to your heart and your soul. I want to encourage you to stay tuned at the conclusion of today's message for some vital information for you personally and those that are around you. For without further ado, here's today's sermon.
Book of Ephesians. We're going to get in tonight to, believe it or not, it's going to be the conclusion to our series, our spiritual warfare series tonight. I was kind of I was betwixt two, as the Apostle Paul would say. I was going to initially make tonight just part eight and then finish up next Wednesday. And I tell you, as working yesterday morning and this morning in the office, it just, kept bringing me back to where we can go ahead and I think close the door, close the chapter on the spiritual warfare. And hopefully by a blessing, you have learned something over these last 8 weeks. It'll be tonight on the Wednesday evening. I hope it's a blessing to you. None of us are insusceptible to what we are going to deal with, but the Word of God has given us the tools, has given us the formula that we need to fight the good fight. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, once you get there, if you will, let's stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God tonight here on this Wednesday evening. I haven't decided if I want to keep my glasses down or up tonight. Beginning in verse 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having the loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you for blessing us, Lord. We thank you for this series. And we ask you, Lord God, that you would touch people's heart, allow it to be tools, Father, in their armory. Allow them, dear Lord, to apply that which they've learned and heard over the past many weeks, dear God. Help us be able to stand and help us, having done all, to stand, we ask, Lord God. So bless this evening, dear Father, as we go into this final sermon in this series. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Beloved, the source of the Christian soldier is going to be this whole armor of God. And quite often, many a times, we like to look at the whole armor of God we like to assume that we have them all on. Just by way of a quick review and almost a summary, if you will, I mean, we know that our strength is found in having our loins girt about with truth. Our structure is having on the breastplate of righteousness, which is that recognition, which is that Christian life, living the Christian life. Our stability is having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which enables us to perform the service that God has called us to do. Our stand is taking up the shield of faith. And so we see these things, the last two pieces of the armor that we see in verse 17, we see that same trend. We see that same pattern being followed. If you look at the first three that we talked about, it says having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness. That's a continuation. There's a conjunction there that ties the loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having those things. And in other words, God essentially gives you those. Now, you've got to use them, amen. But they're there. They're in the locker, if you will. The equipment manager puts them out there for you to utilize them. But as we talked about last week, the shield of faith is something different. It's a whole different animal. You got to take the shield of faith and you got to put it on. Well, the same thing with the helmet of salvation. You got to take the helmet of salvation and you got to take the sword of the Spirit if you're going to use it. My friend, it is the whole armor of God that is needed. If we are going to have victory in spiritual warfare, no matter how dark, no matter how light, no matter how hard it is, if you're going to have victory in any shape, form, or fashion in spiritual warfare, you're going to have the whole armor of God. You just can't have one or two pieces on. The helmet of salvation covers our head. It covers the head of the believer, if you will. It works to protect the mind of the soldier. The head is the center of the soldier's power. The head gives the soldier the ability to think. It's what we need to determine the outcome of the battle. That's what the mind is. The mind, my friend, is constantly under attack. The mind is under attack. No, we understand that the breastplate of righteousness protects the heart, the seat of our being. We understand that. We understand what Solomon said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything in this life comes from the seat of human's being. We understand that. But the mind is what is the gateway unto the heart. Amen. The mind is under attack. The shield of faith is used to protect the body from the fiery darts of the wicked. It is the mind, though, the mind which instructs the soldier where to move the shield, when to move the shield, how to move the shield. Acting and reacting, if you will, to the offensive attack of the wicked. So I want us to keep in mind, the devil is always on the offensive. Amen? We need to understand that Satan himself in this world today. Now, I want to say this. I want to make a statement real quick, and then we'll get back to the message. The devil made me do it is a cop-out. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that. The devil is not omnipresent. And the devil, you probably never in your life ever one time dealt with Satan. You say, why? Because you're not that important. Amen? I know that sounds terrible, and I know that's not, popular in modern day churches. We're not that important, okay? You understand? Now, I didn't say you're not dealing with demonic forces. I'm not saying you're not dealing with demons and devils that are sent out his henchmen. You, by all means, are dealing with the wicked, okay? Understand that. But for us to say, well, the devil made me do it, my soul, boy, that's pretty high-minded of yourself. Amen. The devil doesn't have to. Guys, just to be clear about it, we do enough work and we blame the devil. We do enough of his duty. We make enough mistakes ourselves. Hey, listen, he just needs to leave us alone and we'll make a mess of it. You understand? So I want us to keep in mind that he's always on the offensive. His methodology in this world is always on the offensive. His demons, his devils, if you will, are always on the offensive. And the wicked of this world are always doing the same. Remember, if you look back in your verse there, in verse 16, the latter part, it says, to quench all the fiery darts of the, we like to say, of the devil. It ain't the devil. It's the wicked. People. People who are serving the devil. It's the fiery darts of the wicked. And these are oftentimes people who are following the devil's every lead or the devil's direction or the demon's direction, however you want to say it, obeying him to launch those fiery darts at the believer. That's the way the world works. He's always on the prowl. The Bible tells me in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You open up a doorway in your heart. You open up a doorway in your mind. You open up a doorway in your life. You open up a doorway in your ears. Amen? And he's going to come through, and you're going to get devoured. Beloved, we are no match for him. Please understand that. The Bible tells us to resist the devil, but you go back and look at that verse. That's a little d devil. Amen? Go by, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from thee. And he will. By God's promise, if you'll resist what the devils are bringing to this life, he will flee from you. The whole armor of God is how you're going to resist him. Outside of the whole armor of God, you are not going to be able to resist what he does. So the helmet of salvation keeps the soldier focused, number one, on the master. It helps us remain focused on the master. Salvation is the deliverance from the penalty of sin. We understand that. But in the midst of the battles that we face, we have to keep our thoughts focused on Jesus Christ, focused on our leader. Guys, he's the one that has led the way. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that has sat down at the right hand on the throne of God. He's the one on the other side of the finish line. That's where he is. We're in the midst of the race now, and our eyes must remain focused on him. We need to be able to remain focused on him for the very next play, the very next move, the very next maneuver, the very next step in the battle. Our eyes need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we celebrate? We can celebrate, we should, but not be distracted. We can celebrate, but it shouldn't be in distraction. We can rejoice, but it should not be with delays. We can shout, praise God, but it should not be with deliberation. We got to keep our eyes focused on Christ. And beloved, the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth and was to seek and to save that which is lost, this we know. The helmet of salvation to the Christian soldier is what protects his or her mind, and it keeps us focused on what that purpose was and what that cause is in our life. The helmet of the Christian soldier protects that mind. That helmet on the believers protects that believer's mind and keeps him focused on what the Lord wants us to do, and it protects us from the distractions of this life, which we all know are there in full force. I don't know about you, but I know distractions come into my life usually more so when I need to be in the midst of prayer the greatest. When I bow my head to go to prayer, when I, you know, get on the side of my bed and I want to start praying. Y'all hear people, the revelers in the night over here at the pub, hooping and hollering, singing songs, drunken, you know, reckless drunks over here. Little things like that. People come walking by the path, big loud motorcycle, whatever. Little things like that. Right when you want to have that sweet time of prayer. All the tragedies we see in this world today, and good night, there are plenty of them. Even in the midst of the tragedies that we're experiencing right now, the helmet of salvation allows us to remain focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding this, 1 Thessalonians 3:3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Guys, these tragedies, these afflictions, these tribulations, the issues that we're dealing with in this world today, the Bible tells us that we're appointed unto them. And the helmet of salvation keeps our mind guarded from being distracted by them. Paul reassures us in Romans 8, telling us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sorrow? He goes on to say that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. All of those things are going to be in our life. They're not going to separate us from the love of God. Our mind must be protected. The helmet of salvation is what will do so. Having our mind fully focused on Jesus Christ enables us to use the other parts of the weaponry, being able to act and react quickly and precisely. I want you to think about it like this. We can't have our loins girt about with truth, which enables our strength, without thinking right. If you don't think you have the truth, you have no strength. Okay? If you think that you have the ability to pick and choose what is the truth in this AV, then you don't have the strength. Your loins are not girt about in truth. Period. If you're standing on anything other than the precious and pure word of God, you don't have any strength. You just don't. Okay? You got to think right in order to have strength right. That's what helmet salvation will do. We can't bear the breastplate of righteousness, which enables us to live a Christian life, guarding our heart, without thinking correctly. We think we can do it ourselves. Well, you know, I don't need to guard my heart. I can go out and live like I want to live and do what I want to do and go where I want to go. And you're not thinking correctly. Guys, we can't have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace if our mind is not locked in to understanding. We got to be prepared to give an answer. Peter said it like this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. My friend, with meekness and fear. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What does that mean? Guys, there should not be one person on this planet today that asks you of the hope that lieth in you and you not be able to give them an answer. Well, it amazes me how many people who have supposedly been in church all their life, yet they have the inability to win somebody to Christ. Or let me back up. The inability to witness someone of the gospel of Christ. The winning part is the Holy Spirit. We've got that flip-flopped in our world today. We call it soul winning and soul winning 101 and soul winning classes. That's called salesmanship. The Bible commands us to be a witness, to plant the seed, to water the seed. It's the Holy Spirit of God, amen, that brings the increase. We need to understand that tonight. But I'll tell you right now, you call yourself a Christian this evening, and somebody comes to you and they ask you of the hope that lieth in you. If you can't tell them with meekness and with fear about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, about his death, burial, resurrection, what it did for you, my friend, I question your salvation. Amen. If you don't know how to lead somebody to Christ, how did you get there yourself? Listen, I know how to get to the shop. You know why? I've been there before. Amen. I know how to get to Cardiff because I've been there before. I can get home because I just left there. I can get where I know to go because I've been there. Amen. You ain't been there. You're not leading anybody anywhere. Amen. Bible talks about blind leading the blind. Both of them are going to fall in the ditch. You understand this evening? Beloved, the mind is under attack every single day. It's the battlefield like no other. Even when our body is doing good things, even when our mouth is saying good things, the mind can and is under attack. Peter said it like this. Peter, in 1 Peter 1:13, he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." We talk about girding up loins, having our loins girded out with truth. Peter says, "Gird up the loins of your mind." How do you do that? You be sober and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Woo, we're hoping for that. Man, I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back right now. Amen. Right this second. Everything going on in this life, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to get worse. We heard about that the other day. I understand that. I'm ready to see my Savior, amen, who for whatever reason loved me enough to save my soul. I want to see him, amen. Each piece of this equipment, each piece of this whole armor of God depends on one another. You can't just use one. You can't just pick one up. You got to have it all or you got nothing. As a matter of fact, I don't even believe that you can pick up the shield of faith without having the breastplate of righteousness on. See, if we refuse to live a godly life, if we just refuse to live godly in this present world, our faith is faltered anyway. Our faith is a failure. If you don't have enough faith to live a godly life in this present world, I don't think you got enough faith to be saved. Amen? And you didn't get saved because mama said you're saved. You didn't get saved because daddy said you were saved. You got saved because you believed on the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are, where you are, where you were born. Does not matter what your last name is. You're not saved tonight if somebody just flat out told you you are. Adrian Rogers said it like this. He said, "A faith that fizzles is a failure at the first." Well, that's a harsh statement. That's a harsh statement. Beloved, your faith should be enough for you to live righteous life if you're saved tonight. Not a secluded life, but certainly a sanctified one. Helmet of salvation is to protect your mind. The Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We don't like that. You know what? Here's what's funny. We don't like to hear that word, "You better obey." Okay? We don't. We rebel against it. Good night, man. Cain rebelled against it. It ain't anything new. It's been going like this for nearly 6,000 years. We're just a bunch of rebels at heart. Amen. And yet we'll send dogs to obedience school. I don't know why they don't have cat obedience school. I have no idea why. I mean, those are the ones that need. We're like cats. A bunch of rebels is what we are. Amen. But Paul tells these Corinthians right here that you need to cast down imaginations. My goodness, the Lord God destroyed an entire civilization of people outside of 8 souls because their imaginations were wicked continually. Imagination means to create images in your mind. Those images come into your head, the Bible tells me to cast them down. Any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge, ain't nothing better than the knowledge of God, amen? When it begins to creep into that mind, and it begins to attack that mind, you're to take it and cast it down. Bring it into captivity, every single thought, to the obedience of Christ. There was a big movement many, many, many years ago. It became popular later on with the little wristbands that had WWGD on it. What would Jesus do? And I get it. And I'm not here to promote it or tear it down or anything like that. And it came off of a book. In all fairness, it's a really good book. Doctrinally, it's a little bit off. But when you stop and you think about this verse in light of that campaign that happened 30 years ago, which again was based upon a book that was written many, many moons before that, we can understand where the ideology comes from. So when we have a thought that comes into our mind, you know what we need to think? Is this obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ? Should I do this? Is this pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ? Good, bad, whatever. Listen, it doesn't matter what the end results are going to be. Amen. If God's not happy with the first thought, he's not going to be happy with the last thought. Is it brought into the obedience of Christ? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. He says, but Christ, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Loved me and gave himself for me. He says he lives by the faith of the Son of God. Lives by the faith of the Son of God. My friend, I still say it again. Now, you're not going to wear the breastplate of righteousness. I mean, if you're not going to wear the breastplate of righteousness in that Christian life, you're not going to pick up the shield of faith because your faith's not good enough. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I. He goes, I'm alive, I'm living, I'm in the flesh right now, but I'm living by the faith in God who sent Jesus Christ to die for me because he loved me. Where's your faith tonight? Guys, you know, you're not picking up and putting the helmet of salvation on if you don't have faith. This is an order. Remember, having the first three, and then you got to take the other three and put them on. You're not putting the helmet of salvation on if you don't have faith enough in this life. Do you understand? Faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. You know one thing about a crucified man, crucified person? A crucified soul has a fixed determination. They're facing a single direction, and they have a forward destination. When you're crucified, you're not looking around. You're definitely not turning around. And you got one destination that you're making. You see, beloved, when our mind is guarded by that helmet of salvation, when we put that mind, that helmet on to protect our mind, to get past these distractions, to get past of what the devil and the devils and the wicked of this world want to drag us down with, that, my friend, is when we can have what we need. And the Bible tells us life and peace. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I mean, guys, we could go on and on and on and on and on tonight about the effect of the mind and our Christian livelihood. The mind is the battleground. And it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your generation. It doesn't matter your educational level or your knowledge. Your mind is under attack, and it will be until the day you leave. So we know that the mind of the saved individual is protected by the helmet of salvation, so we're focused upon our master. But the mind of the soldier also needs to be focused upon the mission. And this brings us to the final piece of the armor, and the only offensive weapon that's in the entire lot. Verse 17, the latter part says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Beloved, the sword of the Spirit, you understand? Again, what is our mission? Jesus Christ said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Guys, it's easy to lose focus on the mission if you're not careful. As a church planting missionary in a foreign land, my family, Preston's family, we've left everything that we knew for the mission field. That's what we've done. But even in the midst of this, it is easy for us to lose focus if we don't protect that mind, if we don't have that sword of the Spirit. There's temptation to be busy. We often equate busyness with successfulness, and it's simply not true. That's just not it. Denise and I were talking about this today. There's a purpose for us to be here on this earth, and there's a purpose that the Lord has kept us here, and that is the mission he has given each one of us to do, and that is to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in this earth today. And it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which will bring the lost souls to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word. You say, well, what about these other beliefs? I'm not here tonight. I know I've stepped out on a bit of liberty over the past few Wednesday nights. I'm not here tonight to bash any other belief or religious system. I'm just going to give you the truth tonight. Bible tells me in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're not getting saved away from faith. Amen? You're saved by grace through faith, not a pie in the sky. Not a work, not an act, not somebody telling you. That's how you're not born into some type of religion. It doesn't work like that, people. You're saved by grace through faith. God's not interested in your talent. He's not interested in my talent. He's interested in your time. Amen? He's not interested in your ability tonight. He's interested, rather, in your availability for him. Your willingness to don the whole armor of God, defending against the fiery darts of the wicked, and offensively witness with the word of God to bring the lost souls of this world today to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the mission. It's that simple tonight. Now, guys, do I believe that we ought to learn as much as we can about the Word of God? Yes, I do. You guys have been in this church long enough to know that I believe we are dispensational. I believe in teaching dispensations. I believe in teaching prophecy. I believe in you having your head out of the sand and understand what on earth is going on in the world today. Yes, I believe all of that, amen. But when it gets down to the nuts and bolts of it, when it gets down to the meat and potatoes, the mission we have in this world today is to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can start to increase their knowledge. The mind of the saved soul has on the helmet of salvation to protect their mind so that they remain focused on the Master. And with the sword of the Spirit, they remain steadfast on the mission. So this is where we are. This is where we are tonight. Focused on the Master, steadfast on the mission. But beloved, tonight is your moment. This is the moment that you get to decide. This is the time that you get to choose whether the last 8 weeks was a waste of your time or if it's a building block for our new future. That's it. Paul said, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." You know what the word redeem means? It means to buy back. You know what you're going to buy it back with? You're going to buy it back with your time and your talent and your treasure. You're going to buy it back. You're going to invest in the time that God has given you, because these days are evil. These days are wicked. We just heard in a sermon here last week or the week before that they're going to get worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul made it clear that's what's going to happen as the world goes on. It's going to get worse. It's going to get darker. That's the way it is. But we are a shining light in this world. And tonight, guess what? You were chosen by God to be alive and awake and saved and born again in the year 2021. And the Lord knew exactly what was going to happen. There was no COVID. There was no vaccine. There was no BLM. There was no all of that garbage. Amen. Listen, none of it took the Lord Jesus Christ by surprise. He knew that it was going to happen. So this is your moment, amen, to wake up and redeem the times and bring the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to lost souls in your community. I got news for every one of you. The people next to you at your house, they're not my responsibility. They are yours, amen. The people that you work with, that you see every single, they're your responsibility. God put them in your hands, amen. Don't call it a preacher and go visit them. You tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen. It's your responsibility, just like mine. Praise God for that. You look out, we got 4 billion sheep in this country. I don't know if that's the actual number, but it sure seems like it, amen. I have not one time seen a shepherd out there giving birth to a sheep. Have you? No. But we see a load of sheep giving birth to sheep now, don't we? My job as a pastor, as a shepherd of this church, is to feed the flock of God. My job as a Christian, as one of my Lord Jesus Christ sheep, is to go create other sheep, is to go win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we understand that tonight? This is our moment, guys. This is our moment. None of this garbage going on in the world today that we're caught up with in the BBC and CNN and Fox. Hey, none of this caught Jesus Christ by surprise. None of it. Not one thing did he go, oh, what was I thinking? What, you know, you mean I let that crooked thing? You think he caught him by surprise? Not a bit. He knew what was going to happen, and he allowed it to happen, most certainly. But this is our moment. This is our time in the midst of spiritual warfare. This is our time in the midst of the battle. This is our day to wake up and redeem the times, my friend. This is the day that God has given us to make a difference in the life that he's allowed us to have. So our strength is having our loins girt about with truth. Our structure is having on the breastplate of righteousness, living a godly life. Our stability is having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which enables us to perform the service. Our stand is taking up the shield of faith. Our safety is found in the helmet of salvation. But our steadfastness, our ability to attack, our steadfastness in the mission of God is found in the only offensive weapon that the Christian soldier is given. Within the whole armor of God is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And outside of the Word of God, somehow, some way, no one is getting saved and born again. So I encourage you tonight. I hope the last 8 weeks have been a blessing to you. I encourage you this evening that if you haven't put on the whole armor of God yet, get it out, dust it off, shine it up, start putting it on, and pick up that sword of the Spirit and get out there and start slaying some dragons. Amen? Or you bow your heads tonight. Thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Aberaman. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this was the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving his life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he gave his life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, what would stop you right here, right now, from bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite you into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask you to lead, God, and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the Word of God. That is a promise from God himself. That is the promise from the Creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept his free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you'd make that decision. And if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Seren Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.